When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
The Go Birds podcast is sponsored by Ashley, America's number one furniture and mattress store.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 5th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Wednesday. We are in the final day of a three-day stretch of practices for the Eagles. The Eagles were on the practice field on Tuesday, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but you can check out the post-practice pod that's already in the feed, a play-by-play breakdown of every snap Jalen was on the field, who he threw it to, who ran the ball, how the offense looked. Newsflash, or update, maybe that's more spoiler, one of the worst performances I've seen from the offense. Now, there are a lot of reasons for it, which we'll get to with the injury report, but rough day out on the field for the offense. So go check that out. That is in your practice feed. That is in your podcast feed. I guess you could call it a practice feed, considering it's mostly all practice notes at this point. But we got a lot to get into today because Andy Dalton, Tanner McKee both talked for the first time all offseason. So we had a first chance to talk to them about the quarterback competition. AJ Epenesa talked, and interesting player on the roster, especially when we're talking about the 53-man roster. So excited to talk about what he had to say. And then Michael Clay, who normally, if you know during the regular season, not a ton to talk about with Michael Clay. A lot to talk about with him because as the Eagles make a 53-man roster, a big part of the bottom part of that roster is going to be who can play special teams. And who has a lot to say on who can play special teams? Michael Clay. So we're going to get into some stuff he had to say. Andy Dalton, Tanner McKee, AJ Epenesa. It's going to be a fun pod. I'm very excited to talk to you guys on this Wednesday morning before going to practice. But first, if you haven't already, check out Go Birds Insider. The link is in the podcast description. It is an extension of the Go Birds family. It's a chat room. It's a daily email. It is a lot of fun. I love going in there and seeing what the people have to say. So if you haven't joined yet, check out the description in the pod. Good way to support the pod. If you've always wondered, how can we support the Go Birds pod? Well, this is a good way to go do it. So Go Birds Insider, a chance for us, frankly, to become friends. So go check it out and join if you are able to. So on the schedule for today, the Eagles hold their third straight practice. They were on the practice field Monday, Tuesday, and they will be on the practice field today. It looks like the weather's going to cooperate. Initially, it seemed like the weather wasn't too great for today, but the rain has pushed back, which means we should get one more day of Eagles practice before they have an off day on Thursday, and they're right back to it on Friday. But it'll be nice for all of us to have one day to relax from being around our phones 24/7 and seeing what the Eagles are doing. Psych, we'll probably do that on Thursday anyway. But Vic Fangio speaks to the media at 9:40 a.m. Certainly an interesting press conference last time he talked, so we'll have to see what Vic has to say. 10 a.m. practice begins. We'll see if they do pads. It was a pretty intense practice on Tuesday, so I wouldn't surprise me if it was one of the lighter days of practice, but they also have off Thursday, so they have a day to relax if they do go heavy again today. And then after practice, we'll hear from different media members, including, I assume, Jalen Hurts. Feels like a Jalen Hurts day. So Vic at 9:40, practice at 10 a.m. Jalen Hurts and probably other players, well, definitely other players, maybe Jalen Hurts, after practice. So make sure you are around if you want to get some live updates. And of course, there will be a practice pod in the feed breaking down everything that happened. Probably around 2 is normally when they've been posted. All right. So as I said, there is a pod in the feed breaking down all the specifics of practice, but I wanted to let you guys know, in case you weren't able to listen to that pod, injuries, a big part of the day on Tuesday, as Mekhi Lemon and Devontae Smith both didn't practice due to a hamstring injury. And obviously varying levels of concern there. I mean, without knowing the grade or the amount of strain one of their hamstrings has, like, bad news for a receiver, right? Like, running's really important. Being fast is really important. Being explosive out of your cut is very important. So not good for either player to suffer this injury. With Devontae, obviously you can go, he's a veteran, you know what he can do. Him and Jalen already have good chemistry. You're a little less concerned about that. Clearly learning a new offense, you want him out there. Little less concerned. Mekhi Lemon missing time is no good. He has missed mandatory minicamp, he missed part of OTAs, and he's missed half of the practices so far, assuming he isn't out on the practice field today, and which I think is probably a fair assumption. So, yeah, I mean, look, Mekhi was drafted to be an instant impact player. All first-round picks should be an instant impact player, especially when you're drafting at a position where you just lost a player in A.J. Brown. That was certainly an impact player. So Mekhi Lemon missing time with the hamstring is no good. And we will probably not get a real update on that until Friday when Nick talks. I think on Friday Nick talks, but he probably won't say much. I guess the only thing we can say is the team is not concerned long term, and they're going to be smart with how they approach this as always. But there's no substitute for training camp practices. And, you know, Nick Sirianni said earlier this week they have a package that they want to install for Mekhi Lemon. And that's going to be hard to do if Mekhi Lemon is not out on the practice field. So at this point, frankly, I just really hope they're both out there for the Patriots joint practices on, I think, the 19th and the 20th is when those practices are. So really, really hoping that that we see them out there for that, because I want to see both teams at full strength for that. It would be truly devastating if one of them was not out there for that. So in addition to Mekhi Lemon and Devontae Smith missing practice, Lane Johnson was also not at practice again. He was excused with a non-injury related reason. This is the third practice in a row he has missed. There was also off days in between. So hopefully everything is okay with Lane. And, you know, we'll see if he's out there today. It's his personal life. It's his personal business. Sooner or later, though, he keeps missing practices. There's going to be questions about, you know, like, when is he coming back? So, you know, keep an eye on the Lane Johnson situation. The team played with mostly backup offensive linemen on Tuesday, as they had some reps where they took all the starters out besides Tyler Steen and gave some of the guys some time off. So that's another reason the offense probably wasn't that good on Tuesday. But in addition to those injuries, Keyshawn James-Newby once again not practicing with an ankle injury, Jaden Roberts not practicing with a calf contusion, Cole Wisniewski, who I think maybe hasn't practiced all of camp, or no, he was out there for the first few days, not practicing with a hamstring injury, and then Micah Morris, the guard out of Georgia, a shoulder injury keeping him from the practice field. So 5 days into practice, and we're up to 8 players on the injury report, so not ideal, especially when 3 of them are Devontae Smith, Mekhi Lemon, and Lane Johnson. But as I said, the Eagles had an intense practice on Tuesday. Jalen was 6 of 19, no touchdowns, 1 interception. A lot of flags thrown on Tuesday. So check out the pod with the play-by-play breakdown if you want to hear more about what happened on Tuesday. But after practice, we heard from Andy Dalton and Tanner McKee for the first time. Andy Dalton and Tanner McKee in a competition for the backup quarterback spot. Andy Dalton was asked about that and, you know, coming to Philadelphia. And here's what Andy Dalton had to say.
Andy, a couple days into camp, how have you been viewing the backup quarterback competition with Tanner?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, I think, you know, for both of us getting in there, we're splitting reps. We kind of don't know exactly when we're going to be going in, which is, you know, fits the role of the backup. So, I think it's been good for both of us. You know, both getting a chance to be out there with the twos, and some next day you're with the threes and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, right. I think right now we're just trying to put the offense together and make sure that it's all moving in the same direction.
I mean, I think it's a win for Andy Dalton, like to be going from the Panthers, where you're the clear backup, but it's the Panthers, to being able to compete to be the backup on the Eagles, who don't have the talent on offense they used to, but are viewed as a Super Bowl contender And Andy Dalton, you know, if he plays, like, could really help his stock. Like, if Andy Dalton, and, you know, clearly you hope Jalen doesn't get hurt, but if Andy wins the backup job, and I think he's on his way to doing that, then if Jalen were to miss a game or two and Andy Dalton gets to get in there, I mean, you have a good running game potentially. Well, actually, let me just take this back. It's not the situation it used to be. You're not going out there with AJ, Devontae, an elite offensive line, elite running game. Like, it might be hard to play quarterback for this team as the backup, but I still think being in Philadelphia where you have a chance to win is a good outcome for him. He was then asked, and I thought this was pretty interesting, what makes him a good fit in this offense? And here's what he had to say.
I've been in a system similar to this multiple times, and I think quick decision making and a lot of pure progressions, understanding certain coverages, when you can get off on certain routes and different things, going through your progression. So now I feel really comfortable with this offense, and like I said, I've been in an offense similar before.
Quick decision making and having played in it before. You can see that. Like, when he's out there, he does get rid of the ball quickly. He is not someone, like, I would be surprised if he does play, if he gets sacked a ton, just because he does get rid of the ball super quick. Now, he might not complete a lot of passes, but he's going to get rid of the ball and avoid negative plays, interceptions aside, because he has had trouble recently in Carolina turning the ball over when he did play. But he said that, you know, he was in there in Cincinnati when Zach Taylor came in towards the end, so he has played in it before. You can tell he looks comfortable in it. Like, he really does. He looks comfortable under center. I think he's gotten better as camp has gone on. I do think he has outperformed Tanner McKee to this point. And at this point, if the Eagles had to make a decision tomorrow and had to put a 53-man roster together, I think Andy Dalton would be the backup. And Tanner would probably make the team because they don't want to cut Tanner. But Andy Dalton, and I'll be honest with you, like Donovan Chespat, it's been hard tracking the backup quarterback stats because they keep doing split field where the second team is on one field and the first team's on another. And obviously I'm going to prioritize Jalen in the first team offense. And then they like rotate a ton. It's been tough. So at one point in the pod, I'll give you the backup quarterback stats, but it'll be an incomplete look, to be completely fair, of where it's at. Whereas with Jalen, I can tell you every single snap is in there. But I think Andy Dalton has been outplaying Tanner McKee, and it's getting to a point where it might not be close. And I think most of the other beat writers would agree with me on that. Now, Tanner McKee is in a tough spot because this was his job last year. He was getting all the backup quarterback snaps. Now he's getting probably as many snaps as he did as a number three quarterback the first 2 years of his career. So he was asked about Andy Dalton coming in, his reaction to it, and here's what he had to say.
I think it's great. I mean, it's the NFL. And so every year that I've been here, we've had four quarterbacks. You got to compete for a job. That's nothing new being here. Nothing new, I would say, being in the NFL. And so every year, I think you're going to have to compete and earn your spot. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, as an athlete, you have to love competition. You have to love to compete. And so when Howie told me the news, I was excited. It's another opportunity. So Andy's a great guy. I can learn a ton from him, especially with the new offense. He's been in a very similar offense before. And just seeing how he reads things, how he approaches things. He's obviously been in the NFL for quite some time. And so it's great kind of picking his brain with, especially with the new offense.
So Tanner knows what to say. I did the, you know, Players Lounge with Tanner last year, and he is well aware of what to say to not cause headlines. And I think there is some truth to it. Like, I'm sure he does like the idea of competition. Maybe he's excited about going out and winning it and, you know, having something to play for every day. Whereas last year he was the backup, but that was kind of it. Like, he wasn't competing to be the starter. He wasn't going to be the third string quarterback. So I think there could be some excitement about that. But at the same time, like, man, you are the backup and now you might not be, and very well are not probably right now. So I see Tanner's point. I see you. I'd be excited about it. You feel bad for Tanner, but he said it's reality of the NFL. And it's pretty clear when the Eagles brought in Andy Dalton, this was much more than just like a trade on a flyer. Like, they like Andy Dalton, it seems. And Tanner McKee seems to be in a tough spot because of that. So outside of the quarterback competition, both of them then spoke about Sean Mannion. And I thought they both said really noteworthy things. So we're going to play Andy Dalton and Tanner McKee back to back on Mannion and what they like about the new offense and what they've picked up about Mannion.
Honestly, he's great. Talking to the O-line and the running back specifically, they love it. Being more under center, marrying everything together, just talking to it. Like, it's a little bit different, obviously, just scheme, looking at different things from what we've done in the past. And so there are going to be a little bit of growing pains along with it. That's just the nature of the beast. But as far as putting things together when it clicks and we're rolling as a whole, it's an amazing offense.
What are your first impressions of Sean Mannion and the system?
Sean's been great. You know, I think when I first got here and just kind of talking with him and talking with some of the other coaches on the staff of just how he even ended up here and just the preparation they did from when he his time as a player till you know, where he's at now. You know, and I had followed Sean a little bit just with his career and knowing guys that had knew him and had been around him, and everybody talked about how smart he was, and now getting to kind of see it firsthand is it's pretty special. So he's got a great system. He understands exactly how he wants to play. And he's also a really good teacher. When he's in front of the room and the way he's explaining things, he's getting all the little details that everybody needs. So I'm really excited for him, excited for what he's going to bring to this offense.
So one thing I really like about what I'm hearing from players when they talk about Mannion is they seem very complimentary of him in the meeting room. And I think that's very important because, as we talked about, he is a two-year head coach, a two-year coach period that was a backup quarterback, and commanding the attention and the respect of that room early on seems to be going well. I don't think you can truly have it until you've gone through games together and adjustments and all those things. But hearing that they're impressed by how he's doing things in the meeting room, I think is very encouraging. And I also think the way he's explaining things seems to be really good. A bunch of players have brought that up. The way he's explaining it, the why behind everything, I think players want to know that. And I think that's probably one thing Kevin Petullo struggled with. So I think it's very noteworthy that they've brought that up. Also funny that McKee, who was on the team last year, says he knows the offensive linemen and the running backs love it. And because it makes their job less predictable, right? When they are, when Jalen is under center and they're doing play action, there's real question as to what the offense is going to do. So I can definitely see why the offensive linemen and the running backs enjoy it. But it's early, it's camp, everyone loves each other. I still think the way they're talking about Mannion has some legitimately good things to be excited about in there. So once we heard from Andy Dalton and Tanner McKee, AJ Epenesa, the edge rusher that they signed this offseason originally, was with the Browns, fell through because of a medical, and then, you know, was with the Bills last year. He talked, and he is someone I think should be on everyone's radar. He is having a really good training camp. He had an interception earlier in camp. He's had some really good snaps where you can see him getting in the backfield, and he's someone that's gotten a compliment from Vic Fangio. So AJ Epenesa spoke after practice about a number of different things. I'm going to play just kind of like a string of quotes for you from him, and here's what he had to say.
How do you think training camp's going so far for you?
It's going well. There's a little bit of a transition period positionally, but got great teammates, great coaches around me that are a lot of communication going on. So whatever help I may need, they're really providing.
You've had a lot of previous success here. You've had a lot of previous success in the NFL. What made Philly have the spot that
you did? Yeah, this is an excellent organization. You know, they've won a bunch of games. They're always competitive every year, and that's one of the key things, I think, when you're trying to find a team that's something you're looking for. And these guys, they hit me up. They wanted me. I want to be on a team that competes and wants to win. And it worked out.
As a follow-up to that, what happened with the Cleveland situation, and what were those few months like?
Yeah, Cleveland, you know, it was a weird situation, but I don't necessarily want to go back and talk on that in just a weird sense, but, you know, I'll just leave that in the past and just be happy that I'm not a Brown and that I'm an Eagle.
And you're healthy?
Yes, sir. Oh, very healthy, feeling good, and happy to be here.
What are your impressions?
I think AJ can be a really positive influence in that room, which is funny because last year there was a lot of talk about the other AJ and whether he was a positive influence. But he's a veteran player. He's come from a winning team, a winning organization with the Bills, which maybe they wouldn't say that since they never won the Super Bowl, or at least, you know, they lost all those in a row or whatever. But he seemed like a good veteran leadership guy. Like, I think he will be good in that room. I like the line about, you know, I'm happy I'm not a Brown, I'm an Eagle, whatever it was, which was good. But I do think him having experience dropping back into coverage, him, he has 4 interceptions after 3 years. I think he's on my 53 as of now. Maybe they'd cut him, but, you know, you do risk losing him. Like, if other teams see him get through training camp healthy, then the injury concerns kind of go away a little bit, like they were with the Browns. And he said he's good to go, and he looks like it. Like, he's played well out there. He's been out there for every practice. So AJ Epenesa, I think, is helping his stock in training camp. And honestly, he's probably one of the reasons Brandon Graham's not on the roster yet, which can't be too happy, too much of good news for our guy BG. Would like to see BG back if he wants to be back. I think after the Eagles asked him to come out of retirement last year, they do owe it to him a little bit to give him a roster spot, but as of now, it doesn't seem that's going to be the case. All right. On the other side, Michael Clay talked to the media for, I think, the first time in training camp, if I'm not mistaken, and had a few interesting things to say. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, Michael Clay, the special teams coordinator that has been with Nick for a long time now. It's funny, you know, you think after 2022, everyone wanted him fired. They stick with him. The special teams improve. The special teams are really good in 2024. Last year, bit more of a concern. Now, you know, he can't make Jake Elliott make or miss a kick, but Jake Elliott doesn't have a great year last year. But Michael Clay had, you know, some talks, I think it was with the Buccaneers, about being the special teams coach there. But he's back for another year. And it looks like he had shoulder surgery or something, because he has a huge kind of like brace on his arm during practice. But nonetheless, Michael Clay, big part of training camp, because as I said, players that are going to make the team at the bottom of the roster need to make it because of special teams. And special teams obviously ran by Michael Clay. So one player that I think definitely is helping his case on offense, but could really help himself if he could be a special teams player, is Damon Pierce. Damon Pierce, the veteran running back who has had some good years in the NFL, at least one very good rookie year. I think he's looked good in camp too. Like, he looks good when he runs the ball. He looks quick. I think he's having a really good start to camp. And he can definitely help himself making the team if he can return kicks, considering he's competing against Will Shipley. So here's what Michael Clay had to say about Damon Pierce and his chances, or his, you know, what he views him as a special teams player.
Yeah, same as, you know, I loved his tape when he came out of Florida. Not just as a returner, but also as a core guy. And we're going to try and see how much he can do from a core aspect. But obviously in Houston, I think it was 23, he had a great year as a returner. So having that and that added competition, that added knowledge, really, when we do get into a group setting and we're able to communicate and talk about, hey, this is what the returner sees. You get Will's voice, you get Damian's voice, you get Tank's voice, you get Covey's voice in terms of, hey, this is what we see, how we could influence some blocks in right there.
So Damon Pierce has returned kicks in his career in Houston, and you can see how he would be good at it watching him run. Like, he does kind of run like Will Shipley. I think he's better than Will Shipley, frankly, as a running back right now. Will Shipley did have a bad drop on Tuesday. It was wide open, could have been a touchdown, no one within 10 yards of him, and dropped the ball. So things are going well for Damon Pierce and his chances of making the team. So Damon Pierce has returned, let's see, he has returned 20 kicks in his career. He does have one kick return touchdown, which he ran back for 98 yards. So he's done it before. He can, I think, do it again. And watching him in the preseason games do it will be huge. And will Shipley be back there? Will Shipley play in the preseason? I would think he would. But watching Damon Pierce and what he can do as a kick returner could very well decide whether he makes a team, because I do think he's a better running back than Will Shipley. It's just a matter of special teams. But speaking of special teams and returners, Mekhi Lemon is somebody that's been thought of as a potential punt returner in the NFL because he's good, supposedly, with the ball in his hands. And now, look, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. So right now, you probably don't want him on the field in special teams. But Michael Clay was asked about Mekhi Lemon and what he can do as a special teams player, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, you guys have seen, you know, he's very natural in terms of catching the ball, regardless of being a wide receiver, kickoff returner, punt returner. He's done a good job actually, you know, going against, you know, Braden. Braden does a really good job of trying to keep you on your toes, especially when it's a punt emphasis day. It's more of a, hey, Braden, what you do is what you do, then the returners have to play off of it. But he's done a really good job of being natural. And again, he's able to view it off of two really good returners in Britton Covey and Cooper DeJean, in terms of watching where the ball is going, the nose, you know, end over end, is it a banana, winning with his feet first. So he's done a really good job, you know, first couple times being out there as a returner.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
So, honestly, it's hard for me to even contemplate Mekhi Lemon returning punts right now because he is struggling to stay on the field. He's not been super effective when he's been out there, and they need him to help on offense. But, yes, in a world where he is good at it, maybe it's a way to get the ball in his hands. Maybe it's a way to have him make an impact. I think you can try him out back there, but I've never been a fan of starters doing it. Like, I don't like Cooper DeJean doing it. Obviously, he was very good at it, but I didn't love when DeSean Jackson did it back in the day. Like, I just think you don't want your key players out there on special teams. Now, if Mekhi Lemon's not a key player, like if Dontayvion Wicks is playing ahead of him, if Hollywood Brown's playing ahead of him, if Elijah Moore is playing ahead of him, then yeah, put him out there to try to get things done. But I don't love the idea of putting a player out there that that is struggling right now and is hurt out there on special teams. But speaking of struggling players, Michael Clay was also asked about Jake Elliott. If you remember earlier this offseason, Michael Clay said that Jake Elliott is falling out. Well, he said at one point he thought he like had to fall back in love with the game. So he was asked about that and kind of to clarify a little bit what he said. And here's what he had to say.
That's a good question. I wouldn't necessarily say he fell out of love. You know, in terms of being in the NFL, you have to love the game to perform at a high level. You know, for him, it was just resetting. And, you know, you never want to see guys. I look a lot at body language. You never want to see them, you know, kind of get out of sorts in terms of their body language. So for me, me and him to have in our own personal talks, I think he's done a really good job since that in terms of his body language being better, you know, and not necessarily getting down on himself on things he can't control. Control what you can't control. And if you're able to be on top of that, there's going to be things in life you can't control. You're not going to be able to control Mother Nature. You're not going to be able to control, you know, the distance we put you out there. But what we do expect is to perform at your greatest ability when we do call your number. And he's done that for 10 years at a high level. So it's more of him understanding you don't survive in the NFL for 9+ years as a kicker by being, you know, down on yourself or and things of that nature. It's like you got to go in there thinking, all right, I'm that guy. No different than Jalen, no different than Saquon. When they touch that field, they're probably thinking, I'm the best player at my position. I'm the best player on this field. No different when it comes to a field goal. He's got to have that ability to stay, you know, to hold down my language right here, be that guy when he goes out there.
So I think he probably put his foot in his mouth a little bit with saying Jake Elliott fell out of love with the game. But I do think it makes some sense. Like if you're struggling, you're probably not having fun with it. And when you're a kicker, and I can only imagine the body language on the sideline thinking about, you know, this could be a big kick coming up. I'm missing big kicks. I'm not kicking well. Like the nerves of it. I can 100% see how Jake Elliott, maybe from the outside looking in, would seem like someone who's not really enjoying it. But we will see Jake Elliott in the preseason. They don't have another kicker right now. For years, I've said they shouldn't play Jake Elliott in the preseason. This year, I think you do play him to see how he's doing kicking the ball. So big preseason for Jake Elliott, which is not something we've said for really ever with him because he came midseason and got the job. So excited to see him kick in the preseason. And final thing, Rocco Underwood. A name we've said a few times on the pod, maybe a name you've not thought of often, but Rocco Underwood, the rookie undrafted long snapper that appears in place to be the long snapper right now. Michael Clay was asked about him, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, Rocco, you know, obviously got the work in the spring with pads. It's going to be great for him to get some rushes, but he's doing a great job in terms of gelling with the veteran guys, you know, not just, you know, the specialists, but, you know, you got to have a good rapport as a long snapper with other guys, you know. They will rely on you as a long snapper to protect as a guard, you know, and he's got great rapport, you know, big dude that could run. He did, you know, we had punt earlier this camp and he did a good job against the rushes. But obviously, you know, he's going to see everything from, you know, anything I could draw up from around the league, you know, rushes we've gotten. He's going to see before, you know, we even get it to Baltimore. But he's doing a good job and we're going to just try and keep building on that as we get going.
So our good buddy, Jimmy Kemsky, special team savant, one of the best special teams beat reporters out there, didn't say in one of his notes that he watched Rocco Underwood long snap, and there were a few times where Braden Mann had to turn the ball for Jake Elliott. Ideally, you want the ball to rotate where he can just catch it, put it down, and it's right where you want it to be in terms of the rotation, so the laces are out and not, you know, Jake Elliott's not kicking the laces. So preseason kicks are going to be interesting. Seeing how Jake Elliott does, how the snaps are, you can probably acquire a good long snapper fairly easily, I would think. Maybe it's a little tough because every team thinks they can do it right now and thinks they can compete. But realistically, if there's a good long snapper on a bad team, the Eagles could probably pry him away. Now, you know, you're kind of switching up the reps that Rocco Underwood, Braden Mann, and Jake Elliott are getting together. But I think it's a good opportunity in the preseason to see what they have in Rocco Underwood. All right, that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds pod. Last day of practice until Friday. So go out, enjoy your Wednesday, check out what's happening at practice, and check your feed later to find out what happened at practice. And until next time, he's Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds!
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.